Did I tell you I love Mother's Day? You know, I thought of a scripture that I had posted on social media a while back. Because I remember reading this and just a light bulb went off in my head when I read this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. And it says this. In the NLT it says, "But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman. And everything comes from God." And, you know, the light bulb that went off, and you can't read that, it's too small. But I posted, I said, independence is a false illusion that breeds pride and self-righteousness. There are no self-made people. Literally or figuratively, there are no self-made people. Now, a friend of mine, he loved the post. He took a screenshot. He posted it on his Instagram, and he added some more amazing thoughts. He put hashtag PSA, public service announcement. Let this sink in. Shout out to my boy Angel Maldonado. This is an amazing scripture that emphasizes togetherness across gender lines and within humanity. No good and no amount of success has ever been accomplished alone. People need people, and all belong to God. Isn't it beautiful how God set it up? He said, okay, the woman's going to come out of a man, but from now on, every single person is going to come out of a woman. I love it. God, talk about equality. Talk about valuing each person's role. He just has a way of leveling the playing field, right? He has a way of doing that. And, you know, while this is so timely for Mother's Day, right, it also applies to the series that we started last week, which is called Brick by Brick. And it's all about the return of the Israelites back to their home country to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city. And really what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks is how to build lives that stand the test of time and really stand the storms of life as well. And how do we do that collectively to build a church that will stand the storms of life? You know, we remember that Zerubbabel, or what was his nickname? Z-Man. Okay, y'all were listening. He led the efforts to start rebuilding the temple. But when faced with opposition, we know that he stopped, and over 10 years went by until God sent prophets to speak life to the people and get the movement moving again, right? And so that's kind of where we left off, and we know from there, man, he needed these prophets. He needed them to preach the word of God. People need people. One of those prophets was Z-Man number two. His name was Zechariah, and he was a priest and a prophet. He was fairly young when he returned to Jerusalem. He came in that first wave with Z-Man number one, Zerubbabel. And so during that time where they had stopped building, God raised up Zechariah and called him to begin preaching about 15 years or so after the work had stopped. And so in the book of Zechariah, because that's how the Bible is set up, you read about people in the book of Ezra, for example, and then you notice it's the same person that wrote this other book. And so Zechariah is one of the minor prophets. It's close to the New Testament. And he talks about the visions that he had. So in the first part of the book, he talks about eight visions that he had during the night. In the second half of the book are words of encouragement of the coming king. And so he prophesied about Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Zechariah, but, you know, if we're going to build brick by brick, we're also going to have to learn to move forward by faith, okay? If we're going to learn to build brick by brick, we got to learn to move forward by faith, and that's the title of today's message, Forward by Faith. And, you know, this is timely even for today, for Mother's Day. We know that this can be a challenging day for some of us. We know that some of us have lost our mothers, right, or our grandmothers that were very dear to us. We know that, as I mentioned before, maybe we have estranged relationships with our mothers. This can be a challenging time, a challenging holiday for some. You know, one of the boys over at North Clayton, his mom was basically hospitalized on life support for about a year. And he said, man, I just lost my mom May 8th, earlier this week. And, man, it's my heart just broke and went out for him. Man, why on the week of Mother's Day? Man, he's got to be going through so much. And he was. He was like, yeah, this is hard. And he said to me, he said, but I have some goals. And, you know, since I graduated high school last year, because he was there visiting for the scrimmage that they had, you know, I had a goal to go to school where I wouldn't have any debt. I've done that. I had a goal to get a job. I've done that. I had a goal to get a car. I did that. I actually had to buy another car because that one broke down. I said, wow, that's amazing. In such a short time. He said, yeah, I got it from my mom. And so there is a way, even for those of us who our mothers have passed or grandmothers have passed, to celebrate their lives by what we do today, right? By what we do with our lives, by how we move forward in faith. And not to mention mothers who have lost children, right? Mothers who maybe have had miscarriages. Some of us can relate to that here today. And so even in that, we got to think about, okay, God, who are you? I know you love me. I know you want to be there for me during this rough time. But God, how do I move forward by faith? Can you say forward by faith? That's what God wants from us today. So what did Zechariah tell Zerubbabel that gave him faith and courage to start again and to move forward? Well, we read about that in chapter 4 and verse 6. And we learned that it wasn't so much about what Zechariah said, but what God said through him, okay? In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, might, or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. It says, not by our own force, right? Not by our own strength. That's the lesson, but by God's spirit. And, you know, that's what we believe as a church. That's why as we, you know, unveiled our vision statement to create churches that mobilize the next generation, we fasted as a church for 3 days. And some of us literally did not eat for 3 days, right? And others of us chose one day or a different way to fast. But the thing is, we came together to cry out to God. Say, God, we want to honor you in this way. And God has blessed it. Like I said last week, we gotten off to an amazing start to the year. But it hasn't been by our strength or our power or our wisdom or our might or our charm or the way we're able to work different angles or say different things or manipulate situations. It's been because of God's spirit. And this is a reminder because it's so easy to find ourselves trying to force our will, especially to the things that are close to our hearts, the things that we really care about, whether it's a relationship or a job or whether we care about our children and we really want them to do the right thing, as Sherry shared earlier. We find ourselves trying to force our will, or better yet, force God's will. We want God to do what we tell him to do. He said, this is your will. We want it to happen now. What I've learned, when it's by our force, our strength, we face the possibility of being very insecure, one, because we can feel like, well, I can't do this on my own, right? And so if you look inwardly and you don't look to God, then you're like, man, I can't do this. I can't reach this goal. I can't accomplish this dream. I'm not. Look at me. Look at my sin. Look at my shortcomings. Look at the way I look. How will I ever get married? Look, I don't have the job. How will I ever support a wife? I mean, we can look at ourselves and become very insecure. Or, on the other hand, we can become very self-righteous. Right? Because we start thinking, we did this. Because of all those things that one person may not feel like they have, another person may feel like, I got all those things, and I've learned the way that society works, and I can make things happen. You should see my net worth or my network. Either one, we're going to roll with it. And we get prideful and self-righteous. Either way is not good. And God is not pleased by it. Are we relying on our force and our strength, or are we allowing God to move? Sometimes we have to, before God can move, we got to move out the way. Before God can move, sometimes we have to move out of the way. Because here in the scriptures, he says, listen, not even a mighty mountain will stand in your way. He says, listen, I believe in Zerubbabel. He's going to complete what I tell him to do. I'm going to do this through him. It's not going to be by might or power, but by my spirit. That's how it's going to be. If there's a mountain before him, which there was, he says, I'm going to level that mountain. It's going to be, I'm going to blow it up. Move it out the way. Throw it into the sea. It's going to be a level plain. A level ground. Do you believe that God can still move mountains? Then why are you down at that mountain kicking it? Digging around that mountain, right? We're trying to scrape it down. Maybe we're trying to climb it. I found myself there so many times. And we're standing there in front of this huge mountain, acting like our little efforts are working. When God says, no, I'm going to do this. Get out of the way so I can move the mountain and you can go about your way doing what I have called you to do. And when we look up and see that mountain, we got to look beyond that mountain and see God. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we are blinded by that mountain because we're at the foot trying to make it happen and we can't see beyond it. Sometimes we got to take a step back, move to the side and look beyond that mountain and see God. See his power. See what he says he wants to do through us. He says it'll be tough, but when it's done, there will be rejoicing. See, God has a vision. He can see beyond the mountain. He can see, he can see what's on the other side, right? But his vision is when he sees a mountain, instead of seeing a mountain, he sees a capstone. Now, what was a capstone? It's a different type of stone. A mountain, yeah, stone, and then a capstone. Capstone is the last piece you put when you're done. That was the last piece of the temple. So sometimes we're sitting there, how will this ever get done? And God says, well, that mountain is going to turn into a capstone. And the people will rejoice. God bless it. God bless it. God has a vision. He wants to put his finishing touch on his project. His purpose, on his plan for his people. Amen? Amen? Keep reading in verse 8. Keep reading in verse 8. It says, then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. God communicates his confidence in Zerubbabel. Can you imagine hearing this about you? Can you imagine putting your name there, right? That, man, so-and-so is the person, hey, he started it, he laid the foundation, she started this project, she will complete it, I'm going to be with this person. Can you imagine the confidence you get? Do you have people in your life that can speak God's confidence into your life? Do you have people that will encourage you through his word to say, hey, I'm with you. You can keep going. God wants to do something special to you, through you and for you and with you. People need people. Or do you have the friends that are passing you the blunt? Just stay right here and smoke with me. Now, you can be going on with your life, but why don't you just stay here and play Madden with me for another 300 hours? Right? Or when you're going through it with your boyfriend or fiance or husband, and she's like, I don't know why you with him in the first place. As opposed to, man, why don't we, one, pray, talk to some people that can help so we can honor God in this way. Right? What's the circle you're in? What's the circle that you're in? You may need to reevaluate who you have around you. Because people need people, but people need the right type of people. Right? And on top of that, we need to be the right type of people. We need to be the right type of people. Are your friends helping you reach your spiritual goals? Or they're the ones calling you up last night, Saturday night. We going to the club? Man, I already told them that I was going to church today. Well, you want to go to the club tonight? Man. Like, think about this. Like, you just can't be around people that make you feel good, that you have fun with. You gonna have fun with them straight to hell. And then it's not going to be fun then. Got to make a decision. What type of people are in your life? You know, the confidence here that God had in Zerubbabel wasn't based on Zerubbabel's might or strength or skill or ability. It was based on the Spirit. And I love the scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You can write this down. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That God says that to us. God says that to us. I see you got started in your spiritual journey. I saw that you started studying the Bible. I saw that you started coming to church. I know you've been going through some hard times, but I'm going to complete this work in you. Through my power, through my strength, I'm going to see it through because I love you that much. I'm going to keep chasing after you. I'm going to keep breaking walls down to come find you. I want you to be with me for eternity. God is invested in you. He has put, for those of you who have been baptized into Christ, he has put the Holy Spirit inside of you as an investment that will continue to do the work on his behalf until the work is completed, until we make it home to our Father in heaven. God finishes what he starts. You don't have to worry about God quitting in the middle. You don't have to worry about him not counting the cost, right? Not being able to finish. No, God finishes what he starts, especially what he starts in us. A few years ago, I got a chance to work in the technology industry. So as a producer for 11 Alive, the NBC station, I got to work as a television producer producing this show called Atlanta Tech Edge. And I knew nothing about technology at all, but they hired me as a producer. I knew TV. I knew how to put a show on TV. And so I got to know the technology industry, and I got to hear a lot of stories about startups, right? And startups are the cool thing. What happens is there's a group of people that come together to solve a problem. One person or a group of people that come together to solve a problem. And they say, I got this idea. We're going to call it Fish List. This is the last one I heard on this podcast this past week. These guys got together out of UGA, and they said, you know what? The seafood restaurant industry is still relying on fax machines to order their foods. So we're going to create this online platform for them. I mean, who thinks of that, right? It's like, that's what they do. Founders, man, they just are thinking of ways to solve problems. I love it. What happens is these founders can be great at ideas and solving problems, but not so great at business, not so great at finances. And so they go and they find investors. You guys watch Shark Tank? Okay. Find investors. Now, they sell their idea to somebody. They say, and then somebody with the money says, I want to invest in that. Okay, let's do it. But in return, I get some equity. I get to own some of the company. So once you make money and you start earning revenue, then I get a percentage, right? Okay. So one of the things that happens when somebody invests in a company, one of the things they can say is, not only will I give you money, but I will give you money under the condition that we hire a CEO that has been here before. We hire a CEO that has taken small companies to large companies. We hire a CEO that knows how to lead a growing company. We hire a CEO that knows how to hire the right people. We hire a CEO that can make sure that your finances are going to be straight. Because you have a great idea, but we need to get somebody else in the mix to be able to carry this on to completion. We're going to call this the Spirit Investment Partners. That's the company that God has. He says, listen, you got this idea. You want to be right? Okay, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to put me inside of you to help finish the work. Amen, church. Can I get an amen? Come on. I see somebody. I see a mama in there clapping. God wants to make sure he takes you from small beginnings to where he wants you to be able to finish the race and become who God has called you to be. That's the Spirit of God in us. What has begun will be completed as long as we stay close to God. Don't despise small beginnings, it says. He says, God is excited to see the work begin. You know, I think that I know for a fact that sometimes we can get psyched out by the end game that we don't take the next step that we got to take today. It happens all the time as we're studying the Bible with people who are seeking to love God and build a relationship. They say, well, I can never give up this, so why even start? I can never be sinless, so why even start? And I say, well, it doesn't work in any other part of your life. Like, in order to get a degree, you got to enroll in school. Like, if you want to be a professional athlete, you got to practice, right? You got to start somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. And we can't psych ourselves out by thinking about what's down the road when right now, today, what do I need to do? I need to read my Bible. I need to spend some time praying. I need to be like Jesus today. I need to work through the things that are in my life today. Don't despise small beginnings. God is excited about seeing you start working. Start going for it. And this is very simple, but the only way you can finish something is by beginning. I'm sorry, I even got to say that. The only way you can finish something is by beginning, and it can be so hard to start, but it can be even harder sometimes to start again. But we got to move forward by faith. We got to move forward by faith. Is there something that God has put on your heart that you've been procrastinating about? Something you may have started that you need to pick back up? Maybe it's a dream that you've let slip away. Maybe it's a goal that you've laid down or a vision that has become blurred. What is it for you? What is the work that has stopped in your life? Maybe at one point you decided to be sexually pure for Jesus, do God's way, but maybe you've come under some hard times. Right? Maybe you decided that I'm going to save up this much money because I do want to help somebody, but then the car broke down. Right? There's all this stuff that can happen in our lives. It's as our brother and elder Mike Patterson loves to say, it's called life. And there will be mountains. But God promises that if we stay with him, he will get the work done. And I'll tell you, man, any leader will tell you that there are moments when adversity hits that we think to ourselves, is this really what you want, God? You ever started something knowing that God was with you? And then it didn't work out. It's like, well, did you even want me to do that in the first place? Whenever obstacles hit, it's like, do you want me to push through or do you want me to quit? And sometimes there are times where we need to stop. Like, we need to move forward. Maybe we're chasing fantasies. It's never going to happen. You're never going to be that superstar whatever, right, that we think we can be. Or you're never going to be able to do this or that. It's just some things that just may not ever happen. That's the truth, right? I'm sorry to tell you. If you dream it, it will happen. No, it may not. It may not. If you pray about it, it will happen. No, it may not. It may not. But what Sherry said was so good. We trust in God that even when it doesn't happen, that his plan is still perfect. We got to ask ourselves, is this really what you want, God? Sometimes what we need to do is go back to our initial calling, what God put in your heart, maybe when you were young. Maybe when you were young spiritually, when it was pure, when life's issues didn't get in the way and it was just very simple, what did God call you to do then? All right, sometimes we got to go to that initial calling that God had put on our hearts and be reminded of what does God want from us now. So ask God, God, what is that? What is that calling that you've put on my heart? God, man, what makes me come alive? What, you know, it's good to ask yourself when you think about what's important for you, what God is calling you to do is what drives you to your knees to pray? What breaks your heart? What are some things that you're like, they have to change? In this world, this has to change. In the church, we got to grow in this area. I want to help in that way. That's how we build brick by brick. What is it that you need to devote your life to? And then, if we've stopped, we may need to go back and see, how did God open doors before? Sometimes God has to remind us. He has to remind us of, look, I had you. Like Zerubbabel, God, listen, I gave you everything you needed. I told King Cyrus to give you everything you needed to go and rebuild. I opened those doors. You're the one that stopped. So sometimes we got to look back and say, was God with me? Was he opening up doors? And how was he doing that? How did he make those mountains level plains? How can we go back and read through the scriptures that inspired us in the first place? You ever been reading your Bible and it was crystal clear that you had to do something? I've been there before. But then a month later, have you done it? And if not, what happened to that scripture? Is that scripture still communicating what God wanted to communicate to you in the first place? Zerubbabel, he had evidence that God wanted him to do this, but he needed to be reminded. People need people to be able to move forward by faith. Now, it's going to look different to different people. All of us have different skills, abilities, callings in our lives. The beautiful thing is in the church, we bring all of these callings and passions and dreams together to build a church that will accomplish the calling that Christ had on his life. To seek and save the lost. Amen. To help as many people as possible to know him so that we can be in heaven with him for eternity. Jesus had obstacles. Jesus had challenges. Jesus grieved. Jesus struggled. Jesus was tempted, right? And yet he pushed through for you. And you and you and you and me, praise God. And what God started in Christ, he finished and completed through the cross and through the resurrection. He can do the same thing with us. Thank you so much. To God be the glory.